Good afternoon, you are tuned to Juno Afternoon here for Thursday, the 19th of November, the year 2015. Jeff Ryan will be your host today. We'll focus on this weekend's Wild and Scenic Film Festival with James Sullivan from the Juno Watershed Partnership. Brenda Weaver from Hearthside Books will be here with details about their annual local office event. We'll find out about Friday's open mic in the Lindenhall Public Library. And Nancy DeTourney will be here with news about art in the capital city and arts up. That writer's almanac, Bruno, music and more today on a Juno Afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, snow changing to rain later on with about 3 inches expected. Friday, rain heavy at times in the afternoon with high temperatures around 41 degrees. Saturday, rain heavy at times with high temperatures around 44 degrees.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Tribal leaders continue to call for a fix to the carcerary decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. Matt Laszlo has more from Washington.
The carcerary ruling was handed down from the Supreme Court in 2009. It limits the scope of the Indian Reorganization Act, which allowed the Department of the Interior to grant land into trust for tribes. The carcerary decision said that only tribes established at the time of the IRA would be allowed to get land into trust, thus leaving every tribe federally recognized after 1934 with a problem. Chairman of the Senate Indian Affairs Committee, John Barrasso, says his committee is working on it. His bill seeks to greatly expedite the wait times that are plaguing tribes.
The Supreme Court ruling, which is a complicated ruling, and we're going to have additional discussions. What we've had were roundtable discussions involving all of the stakeholders.
Carolyn Lubinow is the chairwoman for the Snoqualmie tribe in Washington. Her tribe was recognized by the Bureau of Indian Affairs in 1999, meaning that they are affected by the decision. She says the decision has slowed the entire land into trust process.
Well, it has everything kind of stopped up, and actually it costs the tribes a lot of money. You have to get legal advice. So, you know, something that should be an administrative thing, now you have to have legal advice, and it takes years, you know, to get through the process.
Lubinow says the federal government needs to fix this soon.
It shouldn't be that hard, you know, to buy back your own land. They need to make that process smoother. We could use those resources other places instead of paying lawyers, and we could use that creating more jobs, putting more kids to school, helping elders with their health care.
Aaron Payman of the Salt Tribe of Chippewa Indians agrees.
My tribe was recognized in 1972. We are a land poor tribe. We bought all of our land, and because of that, we support a clean carcerary fix.
No such clean carcerary fix has materialized in the past 6 years, and it's doubtful a perfect bill will appear soon. But tribal leaders are keeping an eye on Senator Barrasso's new bill, though it's unclear when it will get time on the Senate floor. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington.
A Senate Committee on Indian Affairs listening session on legislation and appropriations to advance tribal economic development is taking place today in New Mexico. Tribal and business leaders are being asked to give input to lawmakers as debate continues on federal spending. The session is taking place at a tribal economic summit wrapping up today in Santa Fe. A mission to help Canadians get to know and understand different cultures began recently in Winnipeg over a cup of tea. As Dan Karpinchuk reports, among the first groups to sit down and have a conversation were First Nations and Muslim women.
The Tea Fest celebrates tea, treats, and fashion from 19 countries, and as many as 200 women attended a unique luncheon aimed at bridging a cultural gap. The aim was to establish a sisterhood, connections that go beyond religion or ethnicity. The women had the opportunity to get to know each other, to bond, and to share stories about the struggles they face living in Canada. One of the organizers of the luncheon was Diane Redsky.
We hope to be the role models for more communities coming together to share what our differences are and to celebrate what our similarities are and create a real sisterhood.
The women agreed that they all need to feel included, understand, and respect each other. And the first way to break down barriers is to sit down, talk, and share a cup of tea. One of the Muslim organizers says she chose the theme of Nations and Tribes, partly in response to the Truth and Reconciliation Report on residential schools. She says most of the Muslim women only know about First Nations from Hollywood Westerns and didn't know the history of the Aboriginal community. She added that fear, divisive politics, and ignorance are being manipulated to turn people against each other. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Support provided by Shoshone Bannock Tribal Farms, proud producer of free-range, sustainable buffalo jerky. Holiday delivery of original, peppered, and teriyaki buffalo jerky available on orders placed by December 15th. More information at sbtribalfarms.com.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 6 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juneau Afternoon here on Listen to Support of KTO and KRNN. In the studio with me now is James Sullivan from the Juneau Watershed Partnership, talking about the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, which is going on this weekend. James, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to promote the Wild and Scenic Film Fest.
Well, before we talk about the Film Fest, why don't you tell me a little bit about the Juneau Watershed Partnership, please?
Juneau Watershed Partnership and our partners, the Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition, are sponsoring and hosting this event. Juneau Watershed Partnership came into being back in the 90s, I believe. They were originally called the Mendenhall Watershed Partnership, and then that morphed into the Juneau Watershed Partnership in 2006. And we are a member of the overall Southeast Alaska Watershed Coalition. That's SAWC. You got to have your acronyms here. Know all your acronyms, but... and we work together, we're part of their kind of overall umbrella group, trying to promote watershed awareness, education, and protection of the different watersheds in our region.
When you say watershed awareness, it's a blanket term. Can you go a little bit closer, please?
Well, we've done different projects. Our most recent one is something really popular but very simple. We partnered with the Central Council, Clinkin and Haida, to install just a rain garden on their property to treat the stormwater runoff that was entering Jordan Creek. We had a nice little article on that in the Juneau Empire. That was just last month. And it's just one of the ways of protecting the watersheds. Sometimes, you know, we're driving by our streets, we don't realize that there are important watersheds running right along the roads and behind the buildings and homes that we live in. Juneau Watershed also does a bunch of stream cleanup events. We're doing some environmental education, and we've taken part in different watershed planning and monitoring. Also trying to, just like I said, just like the project I just talked about with Central Council, do different projects to improve the water quality. And with the water quality also improves the fish habitat, which is important to all of us.
And you got a film festival coming up.
Yeah, so this Saturday, the 21st at the Jack, we are doing the Wild. We're hosting the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. It's Saturday at the Jack at 6 p.m. to 7:30 is a general all ages festival. That's the one geared towards the kids. We have a bunch of small short films. One that's only a minute. The longest I think is about 30 minutes. And they're all great. They all sound really interesting. I haven't seen all of them. I've seen a couple of them. And I'm looking forward to seeing the ones. And all the money raised will benefit the Juneau Watershed Partnership and the Southeast Alaska Watershed Council.
And tell me more about the films.
We have a bunch. There's a couple great ones. The children's one, which is the one that starts 6 to 7:30, has a... one that's just a minute long, and it's just about the life of a curious snail. I haven't seen it yet. It's just 1 minute long, but it's something just for the kids to see. And the one I'm really excited about is the one called The Coralax, and it's based on the Lorax story. There's a claymation film that was actually done, put together by a bunch of middle school students in Maui, Hawaii, and it's based on the Lorax. and it's about irresponsible shoreline development and how it can affect the coral reefs and the whole reef ecosystem. That's just one of the short films. That one's just 6 minutes long. I think that so there's another one called The Squeakiest Roar, about a lion trying to find its roar. That's another animated one. There's also a short 2-minute film about the brief history of the 5-cent bag tax, about the history. And I think this is more based in the story of what was happening in California. There, because that's where the Wild and Scenic Film Festival was originally started. It was based out of another group called the South Yuba River Citizens League that started the film festival a few years ago. And, you know, as it goes to different areas, they find different hosts, and we're hosting it here in Juneau on Saturday. And then there's another film for the kids called Phoebe's Humpback Whale Adventure. It's just about a young girl who wants to learn more about humpback whales and how she gets the chance to team up with scientists who study whales and learn firsthand about the seas and about the animals. So that will be the part right there, 6 to 7:30. There will also be some family-friendly activities, I've been told, provided by the Alaska Wildlife Alliance and the Juneau Audubon to go along with the festivities at the Jack from 6 to 7:30. And then around 8 to 9:30 is when we have a different set of films. Some of those, I guess you call those the adult ones. Though I'm an adult and I'm looking forward to some of the kid ones, I got to be honest. but the other set of films start at 8 o'clock and run from 8 to 9:30. And, yeah, hope people will come down. We also have there'll be plenty of beers provided by the Alaskan Brewery. And we thank them for helping us out. They'll be there. And it should be a lot of fun.
And it starts at 6 o'clock for the kids and then 8 o'clock for the adults.
Yeah, let me just make sure I get all the basics out of there. The tickets for the event are $12 for adults, $8 for kids. They can be purchased at Jack's website or at Hearthside Books or Rainy Day Books or at the door. You can get them all there. And, yeah, should be a lot of fun.
All right, if people need more information about the Juneau Watershed Partnership, how do they get that?
They can go to our website at junowatersheds.org, that's a plural, junowatersheds.org, or they can go to the Alaska Watershed Coalition.org. Those are probably the two best ways to do it. And yeah, please come on down. Enjoy the day, enjoy the snow on Saturday, and then get some food and then come on down to the Jack Saturday night.
James Sullivan, thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, just that we're looking forward to it, and there are a couple of films based actually in the adult time that are based on Alaska, which I think people will find relevant. There's one on the Chewitna River, and then there's one also about the transboundary waters, some of the important issues here for Alaskans. So you can enjoy it; they're beautiful, and you might actually learn something too, and you can have a beer from Alaskan Brewery. It's perfect.
Thanks, Lane. Thanks a lot, James.
All right.
What is a watershed? Hey, do you know? It's where water flows through the rains or snows. It's the land beneath the feet where the water comes and goes. A watershed is here and near all around. Starts on higher ground, then it runs on down. It's upstream, downstream, wherever our neighbors are found. And water's where it all begins. Starts as a trickle, then grows real big. From tributary streams, rivers and lakes, ends up in a mountain. That's what the naturalists say. Well, what is a watershed? Hey, do you know? It's where water flows through the rains or snows. It's the land beneath the feet where the water comes and goes. Some watersheds are huge, sometimes they're small. Some begin in the mountains and drain near a mall. Some pass through a field, through a ditch, along a road, even empty in a storm drain, where lots of water goes. Well, what is a watershed? Hey, do you know? It's where water flows up to the rains or snows. It's the land beneath our feet where the water comes and goes. Now shall help you where you are. You'll provide a robust habitat near and far. Never be rude and dump out chemicals or petroleum crude after a hot, hot rain and the waters flow and carry pollutants down to your neighbor's home. And then he rides. What is a watershed? Hey, do you know? It's where water flows after it rains or snows. It's the land beneath the feet where the water comes and goes. Farmlands, wetlands, cities and towns, a place through which water runs down. Watersheds are homes for life of all kinds. Let's take responsibility and keep it all in line. Well, what is a watershed? Hey, do you know? It's where water flows up to the rains or snows. It's the land beneath the feet where the water comes and goes. Our watershed is here and there all around. It starts on higher ground, then it runs on down. It's upstream, downstream, wherever our neighbors are found.
It's Foster Brown, not no relation. Time is 17 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to Juno Afternoon. Our next guest is Brenda Weaver from Hearthside Books, here to talk about their annual local authors event. Brenda, thank you for coming down the station.
Well, thanks for the invite.
So, you are the newest owner of Hearthside Books.
Yes, yes. Almost, we're going into our second year now, about a year and a half.
How's it been?
It has been a blast and a great learning curve, but Susan and Debbie set a great basis, and the Juno locals keep it going, and it's just a wonderful, fun thing to be doing.
And something they've been doing for a number of years has been the annual authors event during the holiday season.
Yes, yes. This is the eighth annual one. We've got a great lineup of authors this year.
Who are they and what are their books?
We have Ben Huff, who actually used to work at the bookstore a long time ago, or a while back, not a long time ago. Anyway, he has a beautiful photography book called Last Road North. It's about the Dalton Highway. Delane Love is going to be there with the Echo Ranch Bible Camp Celebrating 50 Years book. The Loves will be moving out of town, so this will be your last chance to get a signed copy of it. Ishmael Hope, poet extraordinaire with Cortesians of Flounder Hill. Clint Farr with Beers of the North. And Mark Kelly will be there signing calendars and books. Kim Heacox is going to be there with his new National Geographic book on national parks, the 100th anniversary celebration, and his newest, his fiction book, which has made firsts in several fields. He's the first fiction that the Alaska Northwest Publishers has picked up in their 56 years, as well as it has just won the National Outdoor Book Award, and it's the first time they've awarded a fiction book. So that's pretty exciting.
And the name of that book is?
Jimmy Blue Feather.
All right. We've had him in the studio before talking about it.
Yes.
He's just a nice guy and a great author.
He is, and he's so humble. And actually, he doesn't even know he's won the award yet. He's in Pybus Bay, and he can't get out. And the award happened about a half hour after they took off, and he's been out of radio contact, telephone, any electronic media, anything. And so when he arrives in Juneau, his wife is going to surprise him, hopefully before he opens his computer.
That will be a surprise.
Yes, it will be a blast to see him because he is always so humble and got such great expressions. I wish I could be a fly on the wall when she tells him.
When is the author's event?
The author's event is this Saturday. We're doing our holiday event. The authors will be there from 1 to 3. We have things going on throughout the day from 10 to 6. The authors will be there from 1 to 3 to get these books signed. They are phenomenal gifts to give. I know I'm going to have Kim sign his National Geographic Parks book for me. I have a brother-in-law whose goal in life is to hike in every national park he can possibly get to. So I think that would be a great gift for him.
Sure. Anything you'd like to add? So what are the things that are probably going on?
We had a catalog come out in the newspaper, and there'll be 20% off all those books, and actually the National Park book is in there as well as Seth Kent Nursery book. We're going to be having door prizes every half hour, give away some signed copies, author signed copies of the books that are in the catalog. We have treats. We're going to have the author signings. We're going to have all kinds of fun things going on this Saturday. At the Nugget Mall.
Or you can go to the downtown store if you want to. But...
Well, the downtown store we're saving for Galley Walk because we've got Judy Ripley and Marcia Irwin Bennett coming with our historical books. Judy Ripley has written about the Prohibition era, Harding from his memoirs, who was the revenue agent in Juneau. And Marcia Irwin Bennett has written about pioneer grocers in Alaska, in Juneau in particular. So that's pretty exciting as well.
In the year or two that you've had your fingers in the business, what's been the most surprising thing that you learned that you didn't expect to learn?
I think the most exciting and unexpected thing I have learned is the tremendous support from the local community. I did not expect people to be coming and saying thank you for helping keep the bookstore open. And then I have found since that research shows that the health of your community depends can be seen in how many bookstores are in your community. And so Juneau must be pretty healthy because we've got a good number of them.
All right, Brenda Weaver, anything like that I've forgotten to ask?
Not about the holiday event, but I do want to mention that December 5th is Bring Your Child. It's National Bring Your Child to a Bookstore Day. We're going to be celebrating both at both locations with a Polar Express reading and some fun activities. Get your kids into a bookstore. Let them discover the pleasures of exploring books and stories. And we're going to be doing a reading at 11 o'clock at the mall store and the events, and then 2 o'clock at the downtown store.
Now, you see a lot of books. I grew up with Harry Potter, reading Harry Potter to my daughter. What books are out there that are comparable as far as the amount of excitement they are generating?
The books for children?
Sure. But adults would like to read children, perhaps.
The Marissa Mayer books are really popular, the Cinder books, and the Jacoby is, and he's got a new book coming that just came out as well that's in our holiday catalog. Mostly, I just would love to get parents to do just what you did, read with your kids. That is so important to get that vocabulary built and that love of words and the sense of story so that when they go to school, they can become readers and lifelong readers.
I couldn't have said it better. Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 19th of November, 2015. It was on this day, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln got up in front of several hundred people in the new National Cemetery in Gettysburg and spoke for only 2 minutes, one of the most memorable speeches in American history, the Gettysburg Address, and it was the only speech other than his two inaugural addresses that Lincoln gave during his entire presidency. It's the birthday of the poet Sharon Olds, born San Francisco, 1942, grew up in a Calvinist family. She said, "My early influences for good writing were the Psalms, and for bad writing were the hymns." Age of 15, she was sent off to boarding school in Boston, went on to Stanford, then to Columbia, got her Ph.D. studying Emerson, and she walked away from Columbia with a Ph.D. in her pocket. And she said, "I made a vow to myself, I'll give up all that I've learned, all that this degree represents, Just to Do My Own Work and Lead My Own Life. Published her first book of poems at the age of 37. She said, I was a late bloomer, but anyone who blooms at all is very lucky. It was on this day in 1845 that Edgar Allan Poe came out with The Raven, his poem which he'd been working on for a decade, and which made him, for a time, the most famous writer in America. It's the birthday of the poet Alan Tate, Winchester, Kentucky, 1899, best known for his long poem, Ode to the Confederate Dead. And it's the birthday of the novelist Jack Schaefer, Cleveland, 1907, graduated from Oberlin, went to work as a journalist, and wrote Western novels, best known for the classic Shane. It came out in 1949, a lone gunman who comes to the aid of a family of homesteaders. Here's a poem by Sharon Olds on her birthday. After 37 years, my mother apologizes for my childhood. When you tilted toward me arms out like someone trying to walk through a fire, when you swayed toward me crying out, you were sorry for what you had done to me, your eyes filling with terrible liquid like balls of mercury from a broken thermometer skidding on the floor, when you quietly screamed, where else could I turn, who else did I have, the chopped crockery of your hands swinging toward me, the water cracking from your eyes like moisture from stones under heavy pressure. I could not see what I would do with the rest of my life. The sky seemed to be splintering like a window someone is bursting into or out of. Your tiny face glittered as if with shattered crystal, with true regret, the regret of the body. I could not see what my days would be with you sorry, with you wishing you had not done it, the sky falling around me, its shards glistening in my eyes, your old, soft body fallen against me in horror. I took you in my arms. I said, it's all right, don't cry. It's all right. The air filled with flying glass. I hardly knew what I said or who I would be now that I had forgiven you. A poem by Sharon Olds, After 37 Years, My Mother Apologizes for My Childhood, from her collection Strike Sparks, published by Alfred A. Knopf and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Now available on iOS devices. Subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by National Geographic, publishers of The Book of Nature Poetry, a collection of poems for kids that celebrate the natural world, curated by J. Patrick Lewis. Shop ng.com/holidaybooks. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's about 28 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to a Juno Afternoon here on KTO and Karen Ann. Not tonight, but a week from tonight, they're going to be featuring the Unreleased Presentation for November. Get a little preview of it now.
Colette Costa. Now, we ask our speakers to provide us a biography, and almost all of them do. However, Colette did not. And I asked her what she wanted to say, and she said, make it up. So Colette is the organist for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. She's a former professional wrestler and is known around town for fine eateries, movies, and some singing. So please invite up Colette Costa.
Seven minutes. Long story short, as many of you may or may not know, I found a snake a while ago. It was never in the theater, just so you know. So this is sort of related to wild animals crossing my path. Back in high school, I had a couple friends, Todd and Peter, their real names, and they decided it would be a super good idea if they gave me a pet tarantula for Christmas, for absolutely no reason. Didn't particularly like tarantulas, they got me one anyway, so now I'm stuck with this tarantula. So I was a choir nerd, Todd was a band geek, and Peter was a theater dork. So you can imagine how many friends we had, pretty much each other. Yeah. So I'm stuck with this spider, and it wasn't even a very nice tarantula, like the kind that walk on you. It was like this horrible hissing monstrosity. Every time you'd come within the room, it'd be like, shh, you could hear it hissing, shh. I was like, what do I do with this? So I put it in a cage, I put a light up. I don't know anything about a tarantula, and I got one. So I go to the pet store, and I say, I got this tarantula, what do I do? He hands me a bag of crickets. Awesome. I got to pay for these? I get them free in my yard. This seems like a total, this whole spider thing's already a ripoff. So I go back, give the tarantula spirit, and I go to school. I have this thing for about 2 days, and I come back one day, and I'm not lying, there's two of them in there. So I'm thinking, holy crap, I got a pregnant tarantula. So now I'm stuck with two of them. What do I do with that? And I know nothing about them. So I go back to the pet store. I buy twice as many crickets. I figure I got two of them to feed. I go back. I throw the crickets in. I go to school. I come back later. The strangest thing has happened. Now I have two tarantulas. One of them's only got six legs, and all the crickets are chewing on these spider legs. And just having a hell of a time at it, too. Just really enjoying this meal. And I think something is not right here. Because the other one's not eating at all. This one's dead. And the crickets are all, thank you. So I did the only logical thing. I worked at the library at the time, because that's what nerds do. And I go and I finally think, well, maybe I should read about spiders. I don't know. Oh, they molt. Did you know that? Tarantulas molted. Yeah, they don't molt like a crab where they throw off the carapace and then do something else. No, they like the backside of their thorax thing like comes off and they like pull themselves out of the shell and then just sit there. And so it looks exactly like a tarantula. It wasn't pregnant. Tarantulas don't have full-grown other tarantulas. Mark that one down. Now, I should have clued into this when I saw on the second tarantula that the back half of it was open like a hatchback, but I was not that clever. So I'm like, oh, boy, this is terrible. I've killed Bob, the tarantula. They also named it Bob. We are not clever art students. And so Bob went in the toilet. My mother was never so happy. And now I got this thing. I'm like, actually, you know, I was also into dead things and not that way. But I thought, well, this is a super cool thing. Like, it's totally intact. Looks like, I mean, this could be good for something, right? And I thought, I got this awesome idea. And my high school, the choir room was right next to the band room. And there was just like a wall and a door in between them. And we had this big Italian choir instructor who was really Italian. And they had this big German conductor who was very German, Herr Schultz. And so it was very, the classes were very strict. And we'd go in, and we would warm up. The choir would always try to warm up first to drown out the screeching of the band. So, and our classes were at the same time, like 8 in the morning. Who does that? So I thought this would be a funny joke, you know, because Todd gave me the dang thing. So I got to school early, and I snuck over to the band room, and I opened up his tuba case. Tuba. That's how dorky we were. And I took this exoskeleton out, and I just gently laid it on top of his tuba and showed it back. And I snuck back to the choir room, and I thought, this is going to be hilarious. Right? So we're warming up, and the choir's there, and we're doing all this warm-ups. And normally we would warm up for a little bit, and we'd be doing our ahs, and then the band would start middle C, and they'd start that awful screeching. Well, we had gone through about two ah-ah-ahs, which is about when the band would do their middle C, and all of a sudden there was a sound that went something like this, like from the other room, it was like, we are going, kind of like that, but like higher, and it was very Todd-like sound. And at that moment, the choir went completely silent, and for some reason, a lot of people looked at me. And About 4.5 seconds later, the door between the rooms, which was like sacrosanct, you never went near the door, like you don't cross the band in the choir. The door burst open like the Tet Offensive, and Herr Schultz came in, and he was as red as my shirt, and his white hair was standing on end, and he walked to the front, and he just went, "Costa!" And then there came from the band a whole chorus of shrieking. As I learned later, Bob's exoskeleton was thrown from one part of the band to, and eventually you could tell when it got to the flute section because the screaming was the highest on that. And I never got Bob back after that. And Todd and Peter never gave me a pet tarantula again. And I would just like to say, if anyone out there owns any kind of arachnid or alligator or anything, I don't want it. So please keep it where you are. And also, not that hilarious to put what looks like a live tarantula in someone's tuba case. So if you're thinking of doing that, don't. And then I did what any normal 17-year-old girl would do in a situation like that. I ran out of the building so fast and was like at the 7-Eleven buying Snickers before they even knew I was gone. Thank you.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center. Now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays, noon until 6 p.m. Fall schedules are now available online at juno.org/park/diamond park. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
It's about 36 minutes past the hour, and you are tuned to a Juno Afternoon here in listener-supported public media from Alaska's capital city. Our next guests are Kayla Royce and Brandon Howard, here to talk about the screening of the movie Kiss the Water, along with Todd Unlimited. Brandon and Kayla, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
Thank you.
So, tell me about the film.
So the film Kiss the Water, we're showing in conjunction with an exhibit that we've had at the Canvas for the last month that's all been based on fly fishing art. So anybody who stepped in to the gallery has seen we have John Lyman's beautiful bamboo fly rods on display. We have great paintings and fish drawings and these beautiful spey flies alongside one wall. And these flies are very ornate. They're very, very beautiful. They're spectacular. And they use, you know, these decorative feathers that are incredible, and the precision and the detail and the steps in tying them is just kind of mind-bending. And anybody who has really gotten into fly tying has heard of this Scottish woman, Megan Boyd. And this film, Kiss the Water, is kind of an artful documentary on this woman, Megan Boyd. And her flies are hands down the most sought after in the fly tying world. Really, really fascinating Scottish woman, real pioneering in fly tying and just in life. She was a really fascinating character. So, you know, we love getting to work with other groups in town, and Trout Unlimited was generous enough to join on, come on board, and they're actually hosting the film. It's going to be at the Gold Town Nickelodeon this Monday. Doors open at 6:30, and the film starts at 7. Tickets are $10, or if you would like to get or become a member with Trout Unlimited, there's a special price of $17.50, and you can become a member.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
So how long is the Trout material up at the Canvas for?
You know, it's coming down real soon. Next week is the last week that it'll be up. And then we'll take it down shortly after the Thanksgiving holiday weekend in preparation for Gallery Walk, of course.
So what else is going on in the Canvas world?
Oh, boy, we've got so much. Aside from this film, we have Public Market coming up. We have a booth at Public Market, and this year we have a lot of really incredible artwork from the artist who used the studio space at the Canvas, a lot of amazing drawings, paintings, beautiful, beautiful artwork. We have some things that we've licensed the artwork from various artists for. We've got some scarves with prints from the artists, silk scarves that are really gorgeous. I'm really excited about them, and some other merchandise like that. So we'll be set up at Centennial Hall for the public market. So we'd love to see people then. And then something else that we're really excited about is for the first Friday show, the visiting artists, they've been on the radio with you quite a few afternoons. Tim Ortiz, Andreana Donahue have curated a show of the work that they've helped facilitate over this last year. And it's going to be a really spectacular show. And then in collaboration with the Jam program, a music program that Lori Hagee put together, it's incredible, where they brought four musicians in as a quartet to help teach music in the schools. The quartet is actually going to be playing music in response to the artwork that's going to be on display. So it's going to be this really great evening of music and incredible work at the Canvas on First Friday for Gallery Walk. And we'll also have some nice food and refreshments.
And you've got a bunch of classes coming up in the near future.
Oh, and we always have so many classes coming up. We always have wheel throwing classes coming up. We have some kids' wheel throwing classes going on. And into the new year, every single month we'll have both homeschool kids' classes in wheel throwing and in some other mediums, as well as after-school classes in wheel throwing and other mediums. We have a large-scale figure drawing class that's going to be with Christopher Taylor. He's an amazing artist, incredible teacher. He works out at the university. And this is going to be working on, when I say large-scale, I should be saying like huge scale, like like nearly 4 feet by like 5.5 or 6 feet. Canvas and paper sizes. And anybody who's seen Chris's work knows that his style is that there's a lot of energy in it. I took a class with him, and we weren't even working in that size. And I remember at the end of classes, I would be both mentally and physically exhausted from these classes. But it's so cool when you work on a scale like that. You know, it's really awe-inspiring. People love large-scale things, but rarely, because of space and material limitations, do they get a chance to do that. And so this class, Large Scale Figure Drawing with Chris, is, if you've ever been curious about working on that scale, is definitely a class to take. And he's just an incredible, incredible artist and an incredible instructor. We have some holiday classes, a porcelain ornament class. That's just a two-night workshop. Every time around the holidays, we do a gingerbread house workshop where you come in, make a gingerbread house. It's a family-friendly event, and we're looking to do some more of these family events. Last weekend, we did one along with Salmon Beyond Borders, where we did fish printing and did fish printing shirts and fish prints. That was so fun, so exciting. So check out the website, canvasarts.org. canvasarts.org, because we've been posting all kinds of things that we have coming up to that website. And more workshops, so they're not as big of a time investment, and more kid and or family-friendly classes coming up, too.
All right. Thanks so much for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
No, I can't really think of much. Just love to have people come check out the film Kiss the Water on Monday night. Like I said, tickets are $10, and it's a real fascinating film about a real incredible woman in fly fishing, Megan Boyd.
Kaylee, you've been monopolizing the conversation so far. I was wondering if you had anything to mention.
Kiss the Water is really what I'm here for. The local Trout Unlimited chapter was really excited to work with the Canvas this month. We taught a couple of classes, some fly tying classes that went over really well. We're really excited to put on this movie with them. Again, it's Monday night at 6:30. Tickets are $10. We are having a special deal. If you've never been a member of Trout Unlimited, it'll be $17.50. And that's with admission to the movie and to become a member. We'll be raffling off some free stuff. We'll be there to talk to you, to anyone, if they're interested in joining Trout Unlimited. It's just going to be a really fun event.
All right, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you.
It's about 14 minutes past the hour. 46 minutes past the hour. You're tuned to listener-supported KTO and KRNN here on a June afternoon. Our next guest in the studio is Christy Nami Erickson, here to talk about the Wushkina Dei.
Yeah, you almost got it. Wushkina Dei.
Wushkina Dei.
Wushkina Dei. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jeff. Always a pleasure getting to talk with you.
You're opening up your sixth season.
Yeah, opening up our sixth season. Can you believe it that we've been going for over 5 years now? And we're pretty excited about season six because contrary to past seasons, we're kind of shaking it up, shaking the format up and doing it a little bit differently this year. For the past 5 years, we've done an open mic and a poetry slam in the same night every single month. And in season six, we're seeing the change of only doing an open mic for 1 month, and then the open mic will be a little bit longer, help bring in more voices if they want to be able to sign up for that. And then the next month, we have only a poetry slam, so there won't be any opening non-competitive portion. It'll only be the competitive poetry slam. And then in the third month, we'll have a spoken word workshop where we'll open it up to the community to be able to do some different exercises, some different creative writing prompts, to do some talk about some performance techniques to kind of really help people build on their craftsmanship with spoken word. And then we'll do that rotation every 3 months now for the rest of the season.
And I know that you make a habit of going to different locations.
Yeah, absolutely. And, oh, boy, I wonder if I can pull it up on my phone here, but we're pretty excited because we're going to a lot of different places that we've already kind of set in stone for this year. We're starting at the Valley Library, and then, let's see, in December, we're going to the Downtown Heritage Cafe. In January, we'll be at Kindred Post. All the spoken word workshops for the season are going to be held at Kindred Post. We've got some other places in the works. That I can't remember off the top of my head. I know we're going to go back to Perseverance Theater again in the summer. That was a real treat to get to work with them for the first time last year, and it was a success, so we're going to do that again this next season. So we've made little bookmarks to kind of help people plan ahead, which is a new thing for us, venue to venue, and we've also posted that on our Facebook page. So if you look up Woosh, W-O-O-S-H, in Juneau, I'm sure you'll find it and can see a list of venues and dates right there.
I still can't believe 6 years.
I know. It's flown by, really. It's kind of fun to look at some of the older pictures and to see all the different places in town that we've been. We've gone from the Canvas, of course, to the Downtown Library, the Valley Library, Thunder Mountain High School. We've had slams that have been for the entire Juneau School District. We had a back-to-school slam 1 year. We've done it at Rockwell. We've been at Heritage Cafe, of course, the Rookery. We've been at a fire station, right? So we've been all over town, which has been a real treat to kind of pick up different audiences and different parts of the neighborhood, for sure.
Is there an admission charge to get in?
Never. We never want money to be a prohibitive factor for people to kind of discover us. So it's always a pay-as-you-can event. So if you're just wanting to check it out or if things are tight right now because it's wintertime, don't let that stop you. Just come on by. Of course, if you're rolling, we hope that you'll help donate and help to kind of support our program so that we can keep it low cost for the community.
And your session in the public library in the Valley is coming up this next. So
it's coming up tomorrow, actually.
Yep. What time should people be there?
Yeah, so the sign-up is at 6, so if you would like to participate in the open mic, come at 6 o'clock so you can sign up. And then at 6:30 is when the show starts. So if you're not going to read but you just want to come and listen, come want to show some support for your fellow writers and performers, come at 6:30. And, of course, we're open to all ages, all abilities, all art forms. So whether you're a poet, whether you're a novelist, whether you are a flame thrower who's dabbling in some library-safe acrobatics, please come and share your talents with us.
Christina Mayer, thank you for coming by.
Jeff, always a pleasure.
This is Bird Note. These rubber ducky sounds come from a flock of American widgeons, trim brown ducks with pale blue bills and big white wing patches. Widgeons are grazers. Rather than filtering food through serrated bills like other dabbling ducks, their bill is narrow with a pointed tip like that of a goose. When feeding on water plants, a widgeon grabs a leaf and rips it off with its strong bill, rather than using the straining apparatus typical of dabbling ducks. Widgeon's great fondness for grass brings flocks of them to graze on lawns adjacent to city lakes. The birds become tamer through the winter, and you can get close enough to see how they cut blades of grass like feathered lawnmowers. A special treat for experienced birdwatchers is to spot a Eurasian widgeon grazing alongside the others. Look carefully through the whole flock for a duck with a reddish head and gray body, and you just might find one. But experienced or not, you can learn more about widgeons, both American and Eurasian, on our website, birdnote.org. Writers for BirdNote include Dennis Paulson, Bob Sundstrom, Todd Peterson, Francis Wood, and Ellen Blackstone. I'm Michael Stein.
This winter, before you hit the runs hit you. In a world where no one is safe from yetis and avalanches, your only hope for survival is Gold Town Theater's Snowvember film series every Wednesday and Saturday all month long. Epic titles include Snowman, Fade to Winter, Jumbo Wild, and Degrees North. Starring door prizes, a ski and footboard raffle, and Alaskan beer. Snowvember proceeds go to Eagle Crest Foundation. More at GoldTownNick.com.
I love it when people do fun things on the radio. Nancy DeTrina, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me over here. There's a lot of fun things going on in this town, I have to say. This week, of course, you got Sweeney Todd, so this is probably one of the good weekends to go see that while you got a little time. Tango dancing tonight at Suite 907 at 7 p.m. We got Abby Karaoke at McGivney's and Open Night with Terry at the Alaskan on Friday. From 5 to 6:30 p.m., Orca Adaptive Ski and Volunteer Info Night at COPA. So if you're interested in getting involved with that, stop over there. CIGLA is having a Transgender Day of Remembrance Memorial and Vigil at the Jack at 6 to 8 p.m. in the gallery. there's a beatdown, Rage and Cajun, over at Centennial Hall. That's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday night. A Timmy Brown fundraiser is happening from 6 to 10 at the Hangar Ballroom. You can be learning to skate over at the Treadwell Arena, and or just by crossing the street right now. Drive carefully, people.
Get those cleats on.
Get those cleats on. The evening at Egan is Lance Twitchell talking, and I'm not going to pronounce this because I'll do it wrong. But it's at 7, it's free, and it's in the Egan Library. The Tilted Canvas Northern Lights class at Suite 907. I think this is some sort of wine and art thing that you can do. Dara Rialtos is at McGivney's at 10 p.m. on Friday night. When you're, there's a lot of things going on at the Canvas, and sometimes you might just go to their website and look at all their list of things. They change them out pretty frequently.
They were here just a few minutes ago. So.
Yeah, lots of really cool stuff going on. There's a Tlingit Language and Arts program from 1 to 4 at the Zach Gordon Youth Center, and that's free. If you're interested in that, you just heard about the Snowvember movies that are happening at Gold Town. There's also a climate action movie series happening, The Yes Men Are Revolting. That is at 4:30 on Saturday. The Wild and Scenic Film Festival is at the Jack. That's the 6 o'clock showing has kids things, and the 8 p.m. one is more adult.
And we talked about that.
Okay, well, we just talked about everything. What the heck? How about Trail Mix? Did you talk about that?
Yes, you did.
Okay, very good. Trail Mix is having a dinner and auction, so you can go see that, too. Live music is M. Barnes out at McGivney's at 10 p.m. On Sunday, it is the Sound of Music Sing-Along. Always a fun time.
They pay me not to go.
Well, however you can go and enjoy yourself. I was just talking, actually, with Sally Smith about the benefits of singing and brain research and lung power and all those sorts of things and how good it is for people to sing. Even if they don't want you to sing, you should still sing. So there. That's at 2 p.m., and I think they do it again on Tuesday, if I'm not right wrong. There's a Douglas Community United Methodist Church pre-Thanksgiving pie sale on Sunday from 4 to 6. It's the Sweeney Todd matinee on that day. There's karaoke out at Suite 907. On Monday, we have our Letters Aloud folks are coming to town. You were just talking with Christy at Kindred Post. They're going to be doing a letter writing workshop on Monday. And then on Tuesday, they're going to be reading letters aloud. Now, this has been very difficult to really explain what goes on, and I would suggest there's some YouTubes out there, and I'm just going to read one of the letters from their Valentine's one because it's so cute. This is on school paper. A little boy, it looks like a little kid handwriting, and it says at the top, "Don't let anyone see this." It says, "Dear Kathy, I still like you, and I still want to go with you to go with me. I know Brad likes you. Please decide who you're going to go with. Think hard and let me know your decision. I'll be standing at the end of the hall and the beginning of the other hall. Meet me there as soon as school's out." And so they read this letter aloud, and it turns out that the little Kathy chose this little boy, and they dated, went steady for 2 weeks, and then didn't go steady anymore. She dumped him, but 16 years later, they got married. Isn't that nice? So this is the sort of story and type of thing that the Letters Aloud people are going to be doing. They're going to be this show that they're bringing to us is called Fame, and they sort of study the ups and downs of fame and all that sort of stuff through famous people's letters. They've got Marilyn Monroe, Alec Guinness, and Andy Warhol, and Elvis Presley, and I don't know what all. But it's a really like I said, a hard to explain sort of thing, but there's live music and there's all sorts of stuff. So if you need a little upbeat sort of thing before the holidays, come on down. It'll be at the Jack on Tuesday.
And they're supposed to be here tomorrow to talk about it as
so
well.
So good. Yeah, we can get more information about them. They're going to be going up to Skagway. They were just up in Fairbanks. Okay, if you're not going to do that on Tuesday, there's West Coast Swing Dancing at Suite 907 and the Sound of Music sing-along again. And let's see, there's a fly rod building demo at the Canvas. There's the old-time music jam at the Alaskan Hotel on Wednesday. There's a lot of things going on, but it is the start of the holiday season, and I hope people are getting ready for public market and all those sorts of things. And making snowmen, for heaven's sakes.
And snow women.
And snow women. And children and dogs. All of those.
Nancy, thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Thought to have plotted last Friday.